This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Into the glove he goes with 5 seconds on the pitch clock.
Tolos, they've got the highest swing percentage in baseball. They also score the least amount of runs per game at 3.3. They've moved up. This is like 2 days ago. They moved up to 3.3 with that 15-run outburst. So they're third worst.
Hell yeah.
They also lead the sport in strike percentage and chase percentage and 29th in on-base percentage. Oof. That's not good. But I have some good news.
You just saved a bunch of money on your car insurance?
No, but you know, you're like the fourth person this week that has asked me about my car insurance.
No, I was just doing the old slogan.
Yeah.
But I do have good news. I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance.
Like you asked me that. Sarah asked me last night, like, who do we use for car at home? And I'm like, you should know this. We're married.
Yeah.
And then I have like two people call me asking if I wanted a quote.
Oh, look at that.
I'm like, all right, whatever.
Some universe is trying to speak to you.
Yeah, it is. It is. The Rangers have played 31 games now this year. They have only played six against a sub-500 team, Tampa and the Angels. And they've only played three against a team that's more than a game under 500, and that's Anaheim. So
wow.
They have played a pretty stout schedule. Now,
is that chicken and the egg at all?
Yes, it is. It is. Because the Cubs have played zero teams with a sub-500 record. But the Cubs are, like, mashing the ball. Like, so that's really, really good.
Well,
the Mets, meanwhile, have played the most with 20, but the Mets have a really good record.
Yeah.
So a lot of those teams are because of them.
Right. It's like they're because of them, or that's why they have winning records, because
right.
They're playing bad teams. So it is a little, yeah, chicken and the egg. But, I mean, for you to be above 500 and you've played the fewest at or above 500 teams also speaks to the idea of, you know, that you're playing, you've played a difficult schedule.
Peyton sent this to us yesterday. This is from MLB on Fox Twitter account. Baseball Reference has the current odds to win the World Series. Using their simple rating system. I think their simple rating system sucks, if you ask me. The Rangers, according to Baseball Reference. Baseball Reference is like the official website of record.
It's the Bible.
Of statistics for the sport, right? It is the Bible, yeah. It is the Bible when it comes to sports stats. Basketball Reference, Pro Football Reference. This is where we all go, right?
Yeah.
We all go to this thing. They have the Rangers as having less than a 0.1% chance of winning the World Series. Tied with the Angels, the White Sox, the Rockies, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded.
St. Louis, Washington, Miami, and somehow Baltimore is in there.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Is this an attempt to create some sort of new metric? You know how in
yes.
baseball, everybody...
Yes, they always are always trying to outthink the room.
This started in the Moneyball era.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of just everybody started looking for, ooh, what's my next? What's
yeah.
our next step? Like, you remember when, like, UZR got really
Ultimate
big?
Ultimate zone rating
yeah.
or whatever, yeah.
Like, that was, like, the metric people were trying to use for defense for a while. Then it switched to defensive wins above replacement, different things like that. But... They've tried to find all these different metrics. Somebody's always trying to find the next one. Is this just Baseball Reference looking to like, ooh, let's find our FPI like ESPN has, our
yeah.
football
could
power
be.
Index
it
or
could
whatever.
Be. The Cubs, then Tigers, Mets, and Yankees are the top four, all at 8.1% or better. The Dodgers at 9. This is I don't know, man. Like I think they're just looking at like, hey, who has the best run differential in the sport, and that's our rating system.
Probably something similar, but I mean, Texas is -9.
Yeah,
they're not the worst. They're nowhere close to the worst.
So we are officially at the 30-plus game mark around the sport,
mm-hmm.
and this is about the time where you can get a good baseline and a good gauge on where teams are at, what they are, who they are. If you're a player and you're hitting 160, now it's time to be like, okay, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about Marcus Semien's bat speed all season so far. How it's not, first of all, it's never been super fast anyway.
Yeah.
But this year it's even down a little bit more from that. Well, how about this little nugget that I saw from Juan Soto, who the Mets gave a 15-year, $765 million investment to.
It's about Juan Soto, or Juan Soto gave you the stat?
It's about Juan Soto.
Oh, okay.
But he gave us the stat.
That'd be pretty cool.
He created it. By performing the way he did.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. he's hitting 248. His OPS is 750-ish.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 770. His OPS plus is 122. League average is 100, so he's above average.
Yeah.
Right? But he was a 180 last year in the OPS plus with the Yankees. His bat speed has slowed by 2.4 miles an hour this year.
Damn.
That is a big time.
It's a drop. What was the number Sandler quoted to us? 10 feet. 1 mile per hour bat speed equals 10 feet further the ball goes.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, but also.
So, you're talking about he's hitting the ball 20, 25 feet shorter on average,
right,
with every contact.
I mean, that's that. If you hit 40 home runs last year, which I think he hit like 41, how many of them went 25 feet over the wall? Probably not that many.
Yeah.
And that's a big drop. But also, just think about this. Like, we are talking about a sport that has the slimmest of margins from just being able to catch up with 98 belt high or above.
Sure.
If you drop a half mile an hour, that's a pop-up or you're late on it. It's a foul ball. When it's 2.5 miles an hour, you're just swinging through it.
So what would be the – why would his bat speed have slowed?
It could be like injury. That? It could be he's getting old, which he's not. I mean, he's mid-20s, so it can't be that, right?
You wouldn't think so?
I would think it's an injury of some kind.
So he was 75.4 last year. The year before that, he was 74.6. So he was up a little last year, but he's down below both numbers significantly.
He has managed a single home run against fastballs. He is slugging less than 400 through 60 plate appearances. He hadn't slugged below 575 against fastballs in any season since his career began. So he is just not catching up to fastballs. And that's not very good. Not very good.
Yeah, his average exit velocity on fastballs is down a full mile per hour.
His average exit velocity is down a full... Wow.
Yeah, he was hitting the ball. He was generally hitting fastballs 95-plus. This year, he's hitting them 94.
Wow.
And his expected slugging is actually lower than his slugging. His expected slugging is half of what it was last year on fastballs.
Last year, Major League Baseball players stole 3,617 bases, the highest number in more than a century. They are already ahead of last year's pace this year. The stolen base is officially back. First off, the average game this year is 2 hours and 30 minutes. Right, it's basically dead even with last year. Base stealers at a 79.5% success rate. 75% on attempts to swipe third. So 79% of steals a second, 75% on third, and teams are running like crazy. Bryce Harper is not a stolen base guy. He's got 6 already. Manny Machado hasn't stolen more than a dozen bases since 2018. He already has 6. But teams are still not hitting runs per game at 4.34. The ball is being put in play at its highest April rate since 2017, but defenses are turning more of them into outs than the previous years. So maybe the shift is not working.
Well, I mean, look, the bat, this is just a 3 true outcomes league now.
Yeah.
It's strikeout, walk, home run. That's baseball, it feels like. But the stolen bases, one of the good things about this Texas team this year so far is they are stealing more bases. You remember last year we were kind of frustrated that they weren't more active. That they were stealing about a base every other game.
They're
about a base a game.
They made it a concerted effort this year in the offseason.
Yeah, more effort there. And so that's good. That's an improvement you like to see. By the way, we talk about the batting average. I just was clicking over and I'd gone over to ESPN's Rangers page. Wyatt Langford does not qualify as a team leader because of his at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know who the qualified team leader in batting average for the Rangers is?
Smitty?
Adolis Garcia. He's hitting 224.
Oof.
That is the team leader in batting average.
Yikes. Yikes.
Gosh.
Yikes. Big yikes. Are the Rockies the real worst team we've ever seen? They're going to threaten. They're going to threaten the White Sox from last year. They're 5-25. They're ahead of the pace. The White Sox were 6-23 through 29 games last year. This team is 5-25 through 30 games.
But they did, like we mentioned, they did beat the Braves. So that's big. Where, by the way, what did the Braves start? 0-8 or 1-8 or something like that?
They were at least 0-7.
They're right up to almost 500 now.
See, that's why you can't panic about these first 2 weeks, but that's all anybody ever looks at.
The first month you need to panic. Because they say it's the old adage of
you can't lose it. Yeah,
you can't win the division in April, but you can lose it. Yeah. And that's, I mean, Atlanta was very close to losing it. And I mean, they are still seven games back.
Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. One thing that Jeff Passan notes here, five players whose slow start warrants panic. It's Marcus Semien. A notoriously slow starter, but the lack of power and bat speed is bad even for him. He has yet to steal a base in 29 games. Though nobody would ever mistake him for Ricky Henderson, it was always the little things that made him a beloved player. Climbing out of an early season hole at 34 will be tricky.
Yeah.
I do feel that dropping him in the order got him going a little bit, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's still not hitting great, but he looks more comfortable, and so that's the encouraging aspect of it. So, I mean, that's good. You hope that he turns it around similar to the way he did early in his first season here in Texas, but... Yeah, it's not looked great to this point.
Commercial-free expressway is next. We've got a ticket giveaway. We've got the Neighborhood Watch and Todd Archer, Cowboys insider, joins the show coming up next. Commercial-free expressway heading here on The Fan. Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ. You have reached the commercial-free expressway portion. I'm Sean and RJ on 105 through The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside the Neighborhood Watch coming up. At 7:40, we got a Renegades ticket giveaway as well. And then Jared Sandler at 8:20. It's a morning for him. It's an early day for him. They've got a 1:30 game. You can hear that game right here on 105 through the Fan, 1 o'clock pregame.
Yeah, but I mean, he's always got early days because he like willingly gets up at 5 to go play basketball with Jesse Holly or something. So he's always up running around.
Man, that guy, he didn't stop. He doesn't Jared? Stop. No, he doesn't stop.
He's just a little feverish ball of energy. He's a little
feverish ball of energy.
That's what he does, man.
Yeah. So. Todd Arch will be joining the show here in a second.
Yeah, did you see the devastating news for the Malik Davis cult yesterday?
The Malik Davis, there's a cult, huh?
There's a Malik Davis cult. They're a very small section, but there's a decent following for Malik Davis fans who believe they are the Malik Davis truthers, who believe that dude could be a starting NFL running back. Well, he unfortunately has been cut. So after his years of service here with the Dallas Cowboys, he's had a couple cuts and re-signings over the years, but Malik Davis...
You can cut on your off day.
Huh?
You can cut on your off day.
That's exactly what happened. After the draft, the roster was too full, needed to make some cuts, so Malik Davis on his way out. He's the one who honestly was stunning. He came back after a couple years ago. He had refused to or didn't want to get on the plane going to Tampa for the playoff game because he said, I'm not going to play anyway, so what's it matter? That wasn't like a story, but just behind the scenes, that was something that he complained about.
Oh,
Skip Pete had to like drag him onto the plane.
That's not good.
Yeah,
so. That's not good at all.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so he'll.
By the way, I'm not saying that is I observed it. I'm saying that is something that I was told.
What is this lacrosse story?
This is your lacrosse story. This is your hazing.
Yeah, I saw that on there. I'm sorry. I was just trying to wait for Todd here. I normally roll my eyes when I see like a lot of hazing stuff. This, like, you know, because like this, the season got canceled because of hazing. Normally, I roll my this is really bad. This is really, really bad. This was from like the Syracuse area, and 11 high school.
Maybe that's where the white picket fences were.
Maybe 11 high school students from Syracuse, New York, had 48 hours to turn themselves in or face felony kidnapping charges for their alleged involvement in victimizing at least 5 younger lacrosse players in an incident the district attorney says goes way beyond hazing. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it goes way beyond hazing. It goes to kidnapping, you morons.
I mean...
Like, yeah, cancel this. Get rid of this whole team.
You gotta... Sometimes you kidnap people as a joke. Like
I've never kidnapped somebody. I don't think I've ever... I don't think I've ever kidnapped somebody as a joke. I mean, pretty sure I haven't done that.
Yeah, you've never said like, "Hey, I'm kidnapping your husband today," or
yeah,
something like,
yeah, I have. Yeah.
You say that just when you're saying you're right. going somewhere.
Yeah, but no, what they did is, they decided that they were gonna Hayes play a prank on some younger members of Onondaga County, and what happened is they took these kids, they brought them out in the woods, they put a bag over their head, they brought out a gun, and they said, "You know what? We're going to drop you in a remote part of town." And the kids had to like find their way back. It was insane.
I mean,
the kidnapped these kids.
Back in my parents' day, they had to do that same stuff when they had to walk up. It was uphill both ways when they were walking back. So,
Does nobody just shave eyebrows anymore?
Is that the go-to?
Just shave an eyebrow. Like, you want that? Shave some heads.
Yeah, this is bad.
Carry my bags. Like, what are we doing here?
This is bad, but you're Better Call Chop. You're the one who's supposed to come up with a defense for this.
I can't.
Yeah, there's got to be something. How mad would you be at Luca if he took part in something like this?
Oh, I'd be pretty upset. I'd be pretty upset, man. Like, just shave an eyebrow. That's what you do.
An eyebrow.
Half shave their face. Do something stupid.
See, I don't think you should, but if you half shave their face, they'll just shave the rest of it. If you shave one eyebrow, they'll shave two.
Kids have no idea how to be, they're trying to be cool, they're just stupid.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, why is it always lacrosse, too? Lacrosse seems to have a...
Because they're bros, they're all named Chad and Brad and Chaz.
They have an unusually high level of incidents, I feel like, that make the national news, lacrosse teams.
I don't know if this guy played lacrosse or not as a kid, but the great Todd Archer joining us here. On 105 through the fan. Morning, Todd. How we doing?
Morning, guys. Did not play lacrosse.
What was your did you play any sports growing up, or were you just were you instead just taking the girls out on the town and stuff?
Soccer, basketball, and baseball.
Oh, look at that. Multi-sport athlete.
Look at that. Okay.
What a superstar. All right, Todd. I was listening to G-Bag Nation yesterday, and there was an intense fight between Gavin Dawson and Brian Broaddus that we're actually going to be playing a little bit later, but there was basically a disagreement over the idea of picking a wide receiver and the fact that they didn't get out of draft weekend without a wide receiver. Do you think the Cowboys at all look at this past weekend and say that was a failure? Like, we should have still gotten a receiver, even though we feel good about things. That was a failure of the draft plan. We didn't end up getting that. Or do you think they say, no, it would have been reckless for us to take a receiver based on how our board fell?
Both. This is the running back situation from last year, right? Where they didn't get a running back and everybody's saying, what are you doing? You didn't go get a running back. And then you sign Zeke and, you know, they lamented that fact, the fact that they didn't get a runner after when they saw how the season played out. And now they're going to say, hey, we followed our board. The top three guys were all the highest rated dudes and all that kind of stuff. And then when the season plays out, if they don't add somebody else through a trade or add somebody in free agency, they're going to say, we probably should have got a wide receiver. Now, the one thing I will say, and I'm probably not saying anything you guys haven't said, is once you got to like fifth, sixth, seventh round, were any of those guys going to be better than Flournoy or Brooks or Tolbert or push anybody down the depth chart? They might be the same, but they're not going to push anybody down the depth chart. And I realize you can point out some guy that was taken somewhere that eventually proved to be better than what he was. But these guys, you follow your board. This is where they led you. And this is what they did. But I don't think they're done at receiver. I think they're going to get somebody.
Yeah, and so what is the approach in terms of adding to the receiver group then? Is it going to be a case where they're going to look at the free agent market? Are they going to call on trades? Is it going to be something where maybe similar to how they approached pass rusher last year, where they got to camp, waited to see what they had and waited to see what was available and then tried to make moves? How do you think they're going to approach it?
I think they would want to get something done sooner rather than later. And that doesn't mean this week, but certainly sooner than getting out to Oxnard when they added some guys. That was more out of desperation. They don't want to be desperate again in that respect. But, yeah, they're looking for agency. We've all talked about Amari's name and Keenan Allen and guys that are available. And then the trades, you know, the possibility that Jerry kind of let loose before the draft that they're working on substantive deals to add some players before or after the draft. I'm sure that's being revisited. We know teams that might have a surplus of receivers now based on what they've done in the draft, and maybe the Cowboys call them and see what they can work out. And we know that the Cowboys don't like their fourth-round pick, so whoever they get, right, they'll get it before a fourth-round pick.
I was thinking the same question, like, you know, joking about that, but yeah, is that what we're looking at? Like a player that would have a return of a fourth-rounder if they were going to trade?
I mean, yeah, it might be. Ultimately, I bet you that's what they hope it would be. I don't think they want to give up a top-three pick because, you know, they unless there's some certainty that comes with that player in terms of the contract that the player is currently on or the contract that they want to sign the player to. So it might be a situation where whoever they've targeted, they're able to talk to the agent before and say, hey, we've got this deal going with Team X. What are you guys looking for a contract extension? And they work something out that way. I think that's how they would like to approach it. And maybe it turns into a fourth round that turns into a third round, or a third round that turns into a second round, or depending on how the guy plays here. I think they're kind of open to all avenues to acquire a number two receiver.
Todd Archer joined us here, 105 through the Fan. Were they close to moving back into the first round at all? Did you catch anything on that?
I did not hear anything on that. I heard it was all kind of quiet when I would reach out to guys in the draft moving back in, and every time I got a no. And even in the fourth round, I kind of thought they were going to do something, and that didn't happen. So I didn't get a sense that they were close to moving back into the first round.
Todd,
am I missing something? Is there something?
No, I was just curious. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Todd,
Paxton Lynch was not able to go yet. In this draft, so
that's
they weren't
right.
looking to
they
do
would
that.
Have done that.
Todd, I'm curious, you know, when we talk about the Tet McMillan versus Tyler Booker discussion, a lot of people were upset that they didn't get McMillan, obviously. I mean, they didn't really have a choice, obviously. But when they look at that comparison right there, do you think, like I've gotten the sense, Booker and McMillan were probably closer graded than I think people anticipate. Like it feels like a lot of fans, I think, thought, man, we're taking this huge drop to Booker now from McMillan. But I think they were graded at least somewhere similarly in the same ballpark to the point where they were just going to take the receiver because that was more of a need. But it's not like Booker was graded significantly different from where they have McMillan.
So this is where I come out with like the broadest grade. Like that's a 1.543.
I would hope it's not a 1.54. That's a fifth rounder, Todd.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I'm just throwing numbers out there. I think. I believe Tyler Booker was their highest rated offensive lineman that they had entering the draft. Mm-hmm. So even the dudes that went above him, the Cowboys had Tyler Booker higher, more highly rated. And we'll find out if they're right or wrong and how they evaluated and where they put their guys. We're going to find out when those guys get on the field. But if you're at the 12th pick and your highest rated player at X position is there, I don't think you can begrudge them making that move for quote a guard, as some people have. I mean, Quentin Nelson went sixth overall, yeah. I think, in 2018.
Yep.
I don't think the Colts have regretted that move once, nor should they. And look, the next day when that kid came in for that press conference, and I'm not judging the pick by how he talked to us, man, that was impressive. Like, it was like, okay, now you see what they're getting and what they've done. And Schottenheimer is like 3 feet from me, and the entire time he's just like smiling with like confidence and just saying, see, this is what we were talking about with this kid. You know, look, in this mini camp, we're not going to find out anything either. We'll find out when we get to Oxnard. But everything you've heard about this guy has been impressive. Everything he has shown you to be in the little bit that we've been around him has been impressive. And again, I think when you look at where he was on their board, and let's say Golden or Abuka or Burden or whoever, their draft grades were probably not close at all to where he was on their board.
Todd Archer joining us from ESPN here on 105 Through the Fan. Todd, when you talk about how impressive Tyler Booker was, and we've heard a lot about Ezeraku and his character and Revell, do you think that portion of it right there is the Schottenheimer stamp on this draft? Like, is that a reflection of Schottenheimer's voice mattered in this process, or is that just it fell that way and was coincidental?
You know, Bobby, I'm reminded of a former head coach that was around the Dallas Football Cowboys for about 9 or 10 years, where he would say they're the right kind of guy.
Yeah. He'd tell you that over a couple lemonades?
It was a couple of lemonades. So you talked about strawberries and snakes and all that kind of stuff. I would say yes. I don't want to say that was Schottenheimer's influence about the character part of it, but he has talked about how character matters and changing the culture and doing all these things, which is what it's funny to me. Like, we're all like, yeah, look at Shotty go. Look at him cook. It's like Jason Garrett said the same stuff 10 years ago. Like, and I know I've seen it wrong, and I'm not right. Like, but we've heard this stuff before. There was one draft where I think they got a bunch of captains in it under Jason Garrett too. So I think Shotty's influence was continually telling the scouts, and he said it to us a couple of times, hey, you guys are the experts. Here's what we like and what we want, but you guys are the experts. And when you look at where the guys were, you know, Booker was high on their board. Azaraku was higher on their board. The guys that they got on day three, I don't know if they have one guy that they picked in the seventh round that actually had a seventh round grade on him. So, you know, I think his influence was being involved in the process and letting the scouts realize that, like, this is you guys. We're going to help you. But this isn't about us. This is about you. And it kind of led them to good character guys because he repeated that. So maybe it's a self-fulfilling prophecy a little bit. But I think the scouts and the people that I've talked to over there just appreciated the fact that he was in it the entire time and knew everybody and the coaches that they brought in knew what they wanted and knew how to express their feelings about what they wanted to the scouts.
Todd, you know, we heard a little bit of rumble, I guess, that, you know, Mike McCarthy had wanted a bigger say, I guess, if he had returned. And Brian Schottenheimer, when he got hired, you know, the fan line was, oh, here's Jerry's puppet. But the idea, it seems like, is that I think one of the misnomers, at least from my perspective, I don't know about you, is that the Joneses want their coach involved. And they do give a lot of say and a lot of power over there. Like, for instance, I think McCarthy may have had more say than he even realized at times. Or Schottenheimer, I don't think, was coming in here as any sort of a figure, because at the end of the day, the Joneses do want input from the head coach.
I've said this for a long time now to people who ask, and I always say the head coach has the most powerful voice in the organization if he chooses to use it. I mean, Chan Gailey wanted nothing to do with Randy Moss. They didn't draft Randy Moss. Like, this is, I mean, if you want to use your voice, you've got to put the work in and be involved and make sure you know what's going on. You can't just be kind of a toe dipper, as Parcells would call some running backs back in the day. You had to be all in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jason Garrett was all in during his run here during the draft. And I think Shoddy was as well. And I think you're right, Bobby. I think the Jones, I don't want to say Steven. Jerry will acquiesce to the coach more than people ever want to think he was. I've been covering this team since 2003, and there's probably, I can count on one hand how many times Jerry said, no, this is what we're doing, over the objections of the head coach and doing it anyway. And Greg Hardy, T.O., and I'm going to leave somebody out that I'm not thinking of, but I got three other spots there that I can go because I only have five fingers. I don't have six.
Well, I think, you know, it was, if I remember right, didn't Bill want Spears over Ware at the time, you know, like, or Merriman?
Yeah. No, it to a degree, although when people say that Bill didn't want Ware, I always remind them of the interview Ed Werder did with him 25 minutes after they picked Ware. And he compared him to Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
Bill Parcells, if he didn't want DeMarcus Ware, he wasn't going to compare him to Lawrence Taylor.
Fair. Todd Archer here, 105 through the Fan. If Vegas had them as a 7.5 on their win total, You know, last year, if they were, you know, obviously 7-win team last year, but they have Dak for the full season. How much better do you think they are right now than they were at the end of the season?
I think they're better because Dak is healthy, CD is healthy. Theoretically, Sam Williams is going to be playing. That should make them better. Dante Fowler is a better pass rusher. I realize they lost DeMarcus Lawrence, but he only played 4 games last year. I think they're better than what they were last year, but I don't know how much they've closed the gap on Philadelphia. And I'm not even going to go with Washington. I'm just going to say Philly because that's all that really matters. So that's why there's still work to do. I will say this. I think they will be a better team than we believe record-wise. So 7, I would take, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, I would take the over on 7.5. But I don't know if it was 9.5, I don't know if I'd take that over.
Todd, you know, you mentioned Dak being healthy. Is there a, I mean, obviously they always want to do anything they can to avoid injury, but do you think that this most recent injury and the fact that this has been cropping up a lot more in recent years, do you think the Cowboys have something in their head of like, hey, we got to have like a some sort of plan in place to make sure that he's not overexerting himself and we're not putting ourselves in this situation where he's missing multiple games again?
I don't know how you do that at that position. There are other positions where you can do it. You know, we've seen Zach Martin and Tyron Smith not really practice during the week and come out and play and play pretty well here a couple of years ago even. We've seen DeMarcus Lawrence the same thing. I don't know how you can do that at quarterback necessarily because of the time involved and the need, but I think maybe it's in the offseason. Obviously, they're going to limit Dak because he's coming back from the surgery, even if he's going to be fine, and maybe a little bit in training camp. But he's going to be a guy who hadn't played a football game since, when was Atlanta, November 3rd or something like that? So he's going to need to get back into the rhythm of playing football again. And I think that's Dak's thing. Like he's not a guy who can just come out and not play for a while and be great immediately. So I think they'll monitor him to a degree. But some of the injuries that he's had, it's like, okay, he busted his thumb on a dude's helmet, right? Like, mm-hmm. How do you prevent that? The ankle injury, how do you prevent that other than say, please don't ever run again? Well, that's not realistic. And then the same thing with this hamstring deal. So some of it's not preventable. It's not like he's had a bunch of soft tissue injuries, and I'm not counting this hamstring as a soft tissue injury by any stretch, considering the muscle tore off the bone.
Right.
Maybe technically it is, but it certainly sounds a lot more involved than just a normal hamstring injury. But I think they'll try and be as smart as they can with him. And I think the one good thing about maybe limiting him in the offseason through the OTAs and minicamp is that you're giving Joe Milton a lot more work than he probably would have gotten as the number two quarterback in the spring. And then you can see what you have there and get him acclimated to what you'd want to do offensively. So maybe there's a side bonus there, but I don't know. They still have to get Dak's work because he's going to need it.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Todd Archer joining us here, 105.3 The Fan. It is the commercial-free expressway.
The great Todd Archer. He's really good. I didn't know he was a 3-sport star, though.
3-sport star, man.
I'll tell you, he's a big lover of that Cincinnati Skyline chili.
Yeah.
He does love that.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a character flaw.
Can I just really quickly, before we go to this, why is that a problem? Chili, like with spaghetti, I don't understand. Like it is sauce like.
It's not a problem. It's a problem that you use the word chili with it. That's the problem.
I don't think so. Okay, whatever.
That's the problem. That's the problem, boys and girls. Let's hook you up, Tolos.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call on number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a 4-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades when they take on the Michigan Panthers Saturday, May 10th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's call on number 10 at 877-881-1053.
It is the commercial-free expressway. This portion brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. It is 7:40 on a Thursday, and that means it's time for the Neighborhood Watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Where were you in the Anna tornado. I guess it technically was a tornado.
It's not a tornado.
The Anna straight line winds of 2025.
I was looking at that spark fly.
Holy cow. Yesterday, by the way, thank you so much to everybody that came out to Anna. It was really great seeing everybody at the Anna Fire Station. We'll be doing the firehouse tour again. I was going to say next month, but it's this month because we're already in May. It is May 1st. This year's blowing by already, much like the winds were blowing in Anna yesterday. But great showing from everybody there in Anna. We definitely need to go back to that area again in the future because you guys show up in a big way. Enjoyed it a lot. But as we were leaving shop, oh boy, dude, we were walking out, and we had some rain come in a little bit near the end of the show. It was blowing on the laptops a little bit. They closed the little gate so that we wouldn't have the wind coming in. But then we were walking out. It was raining, but Chop said something on the way out of just like, we might get a tornado. I was like, no, we're not going to get a tornado. Like, I looked at the radar. There's no watches. There doesn't look like there's any circulation. I think we're good. And then I get in the car, and it is pouring right when we get in the car. We just got into the car in time because it started like sheets. Like, you would have gotten absolutely soaked walking to the car.
I barely could see. I could see it driving on the highway. I could see two hash marks of the lines, the painted lines.
Two lanes
of in front of me. Just I could see the cars because they had lights on. I could see the red lights, but I could not see any more than two hash marks of the lines. Clearly.
So did you hop on 75 to head back? Did you take 75 at all?
Well, yeah. What else?
I don't know how you connect your roads.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, it's 75 to 121.
So,
they call it now.
You know when you turn off 75 there where we're coming from, they had that like truck stop over there or whatever. It was pouring so damn hard. I just turned in there and sat in my car for 20 minutes.
Oh, really?
I couldn't see. And like, I was just like, you know what? I think my tires are fine. I've not looked at them in a little while, though, so I don't know if I have the tread either to not be able to see and just roll through, like, this much water. But as we're leaving,
I put my finger in mine every day.
Every day?
Every day.
That seems OCD.
No, just, you know, I mean, it's every day. You're taking me too literally here. It's, like, all the time. It's very often. I'm just like, I check. I go by, every time I walk by Sarah's car, I check.
What did they say? They used to say it was a coin, right? And if you could see the president's
head. Yeah, but they have tread markers now on there. I mean, I'm sure they've always had it, but I just look for the tread marker.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, I'm just negligent with the tread on the tires.
Yeah.
I just forget to look. That's the biggest thing. And then somebody's like, have you changed your tires? I was like, I don't know. Like, life goes by in a flash. I forget. One day seems like 4 months. I have no idea what's going on here. And so,
that is
like,
true.
I'll have it. Now, in the past, I just used to be cheap. I remember one time, dude, I was driving this 315,000 mile Honda Accord, and I had worn the tires down bald, dude, like completely smooth on one of them. And I was turning into a parking spot at Albertsons, and there were peanut shells on the ground that I saw as I was turning in. The tire hit the peanut shells and slid the car. That's how
I like driving on slicks.
That's when that happened. I was like, I need to stop being cheap and go get these tires.
The
but yesterday, that was intense. The storms that we were driving through.
Not at the stoplight. So pulling out of the fire station, this wind hit and the back of my truck started to slide a little bit to the left.
You got the fishtail.
I was just stopped. I was stopped and I'd look in my rear view and be like, oh my God, did a tornado just hit? Like, is there one behind me? Is that otherwise? Why is my car just moving? And then I turn on the road, and I get to that first stoplight, and that's when I see the sparks up ahead, flying off the light pole.
Dude, that was, and in general, there's like a lot of trees right around there, and so like you're going to this back area, and I'm just like, I'm going to be driving down here, and I'm just going to see a tornado come up from behind these trees. I know it now. But no, it was yesterday. You look at Mesquite, Anna, a bunch of different areas around North Texas. There were a lot of people who had like house damage. There were roofs blown off just because of the straight line winds and everything like that. But I mean, it was there were some intense storms blowing around DFW yesterday. If you are in need of a new roof, first off, you should call Fraser Roofs and Gutters, is what I would do. Kyle Fraser and the great folks over there.
K-Post Roofing and Waterproofing.
If you need to pay, you can get $800,000 in dimes right off of a North Texas highway. I think calling this North Texas is a little generous, by the way, just because we always think of the DFW Metroplex. But just outside of it, Alvord. You know where Alvord is? Okay, so in Alvord, Texas yesterday, a truck, an 18-wheeler, got flipped over during the storms on U.S. Highway 287 in Wise County. 800 $800,000, over $800,000 worth of dimes spilled all over the highway and into the grass. 8 million dimes that crew workers were walking around there trying to clean up all day yesterday. Now, here's my question. If you roll up on the scene and you see all those dimes there, clearly, like, you know, there's a ton of money sitting right there on the ground. And let's say you're allowed to scoop it up. They're just like free for all. You know what? It's got to get cleaned up. How many dimes are you walking out of there with? Because that's a lot you have to carry out to be able to make a dent in the $800,000. It's like there's so much money here that you could take advantage of. But how much can you reasonably walk away with? Even if you like get handfuls and put them in your pockets, you're walking out of there with like $50.
Well, you just need 10 to make a dollar. So, you know, if you can get, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know. So I mean, you can get a lot of money.
Peyton, what are you doing? Let's say I give you a minute. I give you a minute.
A minute.
I give you a minute and a trash bag.
I have the truck.
Yes, a minute. And
I have my truck.
A minute and a trash
bag. I'm just filling up the bed.
How many do you think you're getting? How much money do you think you're walking away?
Oh God, I could get
$75.
Oh, you get way more than that.
In a minute?
Oh, gosh.
Dude, think about handfuls.
Grabbing handfuls, just throwing them. Throwing them. Right there.
How much money is in one handful, do you think?
I mean, that's 750 dimes.
Hold on, I picked that up. Do you think you've got $80 in a handful? Or $8 in a handful?
Yeah, probably more than that.
Okay, so let's say $8 to $10. You get two handfuls. So that's 20. You're throwing that up
there.
I'm
just scooping and going like this into the
tractor. Could you get the grass and everything? Because they're not all on piles. They're not piled up for you know?
You have $800,000 worth of dimes.
Dude,
that means
8 million dimes on the side of the road. That's going to be a pile. There's going to be a lot of them.
That's a snowbank.
No, did you see the video? It was spread out all over the side
of the...
But
it's spread, like, it's covered. So
you're going to get a bunch of dirt and grass in your hand.
Yeah, this is why you always got to carry a magnet with you.
All right, everywhere you go. How much money do you think you're leaving with in a minute?
$10,000.
$10,000
in a minute.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
You will
see an animal of epic proportions.
You've never been that locked in your life.
Animal of epic proportions.
Peyton, I think I'm getting out of there with between $500 and $1,000.
$10,000.
Peyton, how much do you think you're leaving with?
I think like $80 to $100. I think that's all you get in a minute.
But like you say, 10 is a dollar. You're picking up $8 in a hand.
They say one green sleeve is $5 worth on a dime. That's what the fan tells.
I'm just being reasonable.
Dude, some of these images though of like just coins all over the ground are they are spread out, but it's still covered.
Okay, now real quick. Were any of them in those sleeves?
No. It didn't
look
like
none of them were.
Right, no, it looked like, in fact, if you look at the truck.
Loose dimes.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the truck, like here, I'll turn this around so you can see it really quickly. If you look at the truck bed, it looks like they were loose dimes in the back of that truck.
Yeah, that's what you do. You got to go into the truck bed.
And so it just spilled out.
You got to go inside the truck and just start taking them.
Now, how much, like, do you think that, like, that would be a good way to get the mess cleaned up? Tell people, like, hey, we've got a lottery.
Yeah.
The city's got a lottery. 50 of you enter for tickets. You pay $10 for your ticket.
Yeah.
And then we pick 50 of you. And then you come clean it up by saying you get a minute to throw all the dimes in your car that you want. And then eventually the mess is cleaned up.
I like it.
And you've made money off of having people pay for their raffle ticket. I think it's a good idea. All right.
Wow, coins aren't magnetic? Wow.
Your little metal detector would not have worked.
Hmm.
Would you like some prime real estate, Chop?
Sure.
On the move to Prosper and buy Deion Sanders' home, which is now on sale. The one that he built in Prosper in 1999. And do not blame me for the prime real estate pun. Blame WFAA, which is writing the story, and telling us that Deion Sanders' original Prosper home, the one he built in 1999, is now on sale.
From the show with him and Pilar, where he's driving around a little rascal.
Yeah, $5.5 million. It is 30,000 square feet, 6 acres, just a beautiful home.
30,000 square
feet. Dude, it's just, so like, you read some of this here? Do you know what it is? 9 bedroom, 11 bath. It was built in 1999. Some lavish features that are characteristically Deion Sanders, including a custom closet. How big do you think this closet is that he has? With fully like he's got mirrors all over it and a bunch of. How big do you think his closet?
2,100 square feet.
3,000.
That's 3,000
square foot closet. He's got a fully mirrored indoor field room. Now here's the interesting thing here. I don't think Deion's lived there for a little bit. It's just it's up for sale right now. But it says the house is being sold as is, offering a rare opportunity to restore the home to its, quote, original grandeur, says the agency Frisco, who's selling this. Doesn't that sound like something's gone wrong with the house? Like, in general, if you're like,
yeah,
if you have to say it's being sold as is, you're saying, hey, this is a real chance to return this thing to glory. And if why would it only be $5.5 million in this market? That's, and being as lavish as it is,
and 30,000 square feet.
It used to be Dion's.
Yeah, something's got to. I would think
Squatters tore that place up.
I think Squatters were in there.
I'm just guessing, right? That has to be like when we heard about the Chris Haynes story, where the Squatters went in and were two-ing in his house.
I mean, perhaps there's a foundation issue or. The roof has never been fixed, ever.
Could be. It says the home also features...
black mold.
The home also features an extensive entertainment wing, including a home theater, indoor pool, two-lane bowling alley, indoor basketball court, sauna and steam shower, barbershop. There's a full barbershop in there. Full gym and a recreation room with a bar, according to the listing agency. You can also fit 14 cars in the 14-bay garage. All you got to do is just pick up those 8 million dimes in Wise County and just... Come over here.
We're looking for, we need more storage space in our house. So maybe we either redo the house or we just buy Dion's. And of course, we can't afford Dion's.
I mean, you can't.
Quite frankly,
you
can't afford to refinish the house either.
We can't if you just go to Alvord, start picking up stuff outside.
Start picking up some dimes. All right, the Neighborhood Watch. That is your commercial free expressway. I'm RJ Choppy. He's Bubby Bell, Peyton, and Aiden. How do you handle your kid cost you $100,000? We get you set for Stars Avs tonight. And what is happening? The tragedy with John Elway. Get into that coming up next on The Fan.